Sorry. All right, good morning, everybody. Time for Sunday school. We're in Ruth chapter 3. And verse 6. Let's see. Oh, we got... I was thinking of your parents are out of town. Yeah. Ruth chapter 3, verse 6. So, if you like types in the Bible, I mean, ultimately, it's Jesus Christ is the one that's the focus of the Scriptures. But sometimes, like in this book, I'd say Naomi is a good type in some ways of the Holy Spirit of God, as Ruth is led through a series of decisions and encouragements and ultimately to fruitfulness in the end. And so Ruth chapter 3, verse 6, we talk about spiritual leadership and guidance. Ultimately, it's Naomi's guidance that is going to get Ruth to the end here. And Ruth chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, "And she went down unto the floor," it's Ruth, "went down unto the floor," the threshing floor, "and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. She came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid her down." All right, that first verse, verse 6 there, "she did according to all her mother-in-law bade her." We're going to take that, and I'm going to show you some similarities between Naomi's advice and encouragement to Ruth and really how the Holy Spirit directs and guides people's lives. And so that'll be the subject this morning. But let's pray, and we'll talk about these things. Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Thank you for all the souls that are here this morning. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for opportunity to pick up some kids from VBS that wanted to come to church. And I pray that door would stay open. For those that are sick, I know several that are sick this morning, pray that you would heal up their bodies. Those that are traveling, you get them home safely. And for our trip tomorrow to youth camp with as many as are going, pray give us a safe trip and a good time at camp this week. And pray this morning's lesson be very fruitful and helpful. And for the teachers that are teaching, that you'd help them, fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to look at a few things that Naomi encourages Ruth in, and it's a good parallel to some things the Holy Spirit does with a soul. Naomi's voice it's a voice of instruction, and granted, after chapter 1 and the grief, and there's some things even in chapter 1 that might lend to Naomi being sort of a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. But definitely chapter 2, 3, 4, some things show up that make her a good picture here. So anyhow, Naomi instructs Ruth in a few things. She gives counsel, encourages Ruth in the right things, and provides some motivation, provides some purpose and direction to what Ruth is doing. And so I'm going to show you, I think there's six things here, and I'm going to give you the thought and then some cross-references, a couple cross-references with it. So let's start here. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 20, it's a verse we've gone over, but first thing Naomi does as far as instruction goes, as far as guidance goes, she magnifies the kinsman for who he is. And obviously, just in the situation they're in, she's very happy as a person that this man is so gracious. But some of the things she says are very illustrative of what the Holy Spirit would say of Jesus Christ. So, Ruth chapter 2, verse 20, here's what Naomi says about the kinsman. She says, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." That's a good thought as far as their situation, but the way the Holy Spirit works with people, and I'll explain real quick. The Holy Spirit, like Naomi, speaks of Jesus Christ. I mean, the way Naomi speaks of the kinsman, the Holy Spirit speaks of Jesus Christ. Why is this important? Why is this important? Because Jesus Christ is the center of the Scriptures. He's the center of time. He's the center of God's work and all those things. And so he is the focal point. Now, there's, if you get outside of the Bible, you get outside of reality, you get outside of Christianity, there are men that can be focal points, other men, there are sometimes even the Holy Spirit can be a focal point. As some of you guys know in denominations, and I'll give you an example. Let me show you John chapter 15. Naomi blesses and magnifies the kinsman, just like the way the Holy Spirit does with Jesus Christ. This was something that I saw several years ago that it's important. John chapter 15, verse 26. Here's what the Comforter does, the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of" who? Me. Talking about Jesus Christ. He'll testify of me. Here's another one, real quick. Same book, next chapter. Chapter 16, verse 13. Says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." So, a couple of verses there, just to parallel. But there are, I don't know, some of y'all came out of some denominations where the Holy Spirit is the main thing, where it's the, everything's about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost, and do you have the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost? And so, but the problem is that with that, the Bible says when the Holy Ghost shows up, he doesn't speak about himself, he speaks about Jesus Christ. His office is to magnify Jesus Christ. In fact, you go to Peter, you know, I have to turn there, but you go to Peter, and Peter talks about the Scriptures. He says, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And what were they talking about? They were talking about prophecy that's not of private interpretation. It's about Jesus Christ. And so when Naomi says what she says about the kinsman, she magnifies him, she blesses him, she's just so excited to be the beneficiary, obviously, in this situation, her situation. But her words and the way she talks about the kinsman, the same way the Holy Spirit talks about Jesus Christ and magnifies Jesus Christ. And so any direction or guidance that minimizes Jesus Christ, you can be sure that's not good direction. Any direction that magnifies someone else or something else besides Jesus Christ is not a good direction. Just like when Jesus, when John the Baptist, when he's preaching, one of the things he said, if you all remember, I'm sure you do, he says, "He must increase, I must decrease." Meaning Jesus Christ needs to be enlarged. He needs to take up more of your mind. He needs to take up more of your thoughts, and you need to minimize my ministry is just for him. It's for his ministry. It's to prepare the way for him. I'm not John the Baptist speaking about John the Baptist. I'm John the Baptist speaking about Jesus Christ. I'm just preparing the way. I'm the preparation here. And so Naomi's guidance as far as magnifying the kinsman, it's a lot like the way the Holy Spirit does. She says, blessed be the kinsman, blessed be this man who's made this provision for us. So that's number one. Here's number two. Same chapter, back in Ruth chapter 2, verse 22. And we've gone over some of these things in a sort of a different way, but we're going to put them together this way today. Ruth chapter 2, verse 22. Second thing Naomi does is her guidance encourages Ruth in well-doing. I know we talked about that a few weeks ago, but just to give you a couple thoughts on it. Verse 22 says, Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So when Ruth came home and had the provision that she had out of Boaz's field, one of the things Naomi encourages Ruth to do, after Ruth says, the kinsman, that this man who owns his field said, I need to stay in his field. And Naomi says, that's good advice. You need to stay in his field. You need to keep with him and keep with his people. Stay with him. And that sounds exactly like something the Holy Spirit would say about Jesus Christ and about encouraging the people of God in well-doing, which is a verse you're probably familiar with. But look in Hebrews chapter 10. Naomi's guidance provides encouragement to Ruth in well-doing. Hebrews chapter 10. This is part of the reason, one of the big reasons, really, we gather together first day of the week and open up the Bible, preach, pray, sing together, because it's encouraging, it's exhortation, it's finding a community around the same spirit here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So there's some encouragement there. I guess that one of the many benefits of getting together is it's encouraging. We're talking about, Wednesday, we're talking about Elijah. And Elijah kept saying, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. And the Lord had to correct that because it wasn't true. It may have felt like it. I mean, that was his feeling about the situation. But the reality was different than that. He wasn't the only one. He just didn't see the other people that were involved. And so, but it was very discouraging because he just kept saying, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. And feeling that way, it's a feeling people often have, I think, in service to the Lord, but it's not reality and it's not true. And offsetting that thought is you get together on the first day of the week, you open the Bible, we have Sunday school, we preach, we pray together, and so there's an exhortation to do good and to love each other and things like that. And so when Naomi says what she says to Ruth, it's a guidance, it's an instruction, and it's an encouragement to keep doing what she's doing. And that's really a lot of times what Sunday boils down to, or what a sermon boils down to. It's just like, just keep doing what you're doing. You need to just be encouraged to do what you're doing. And so that's part of the Holy Spirit's work. Here's another one. Number three. Back over in Ruth, chapter 3, verse 1. This one, as Naomi and Ruth and Ruth's work in Boaz's field, time goes on and it becomes clear that Boaz is a kinsman and things like that. Naomi is going to explain to Ruth what the kinsman can do for her. And verses 1 and 2, Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight to the threshing floor." And she's going to give her some instructions there. But Naomi is going to explain what Boaz can provide. You say, well, how is that something that is a ministry of the Holy Spirit? Well, it has to be a ministry of the Holy Spirit because, well, let me just give you your cross reference. Naomi, like the Holy Spirit of God, explains the benefits that the kinsman has and that are in the kinsman. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. A little cross-reference to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 9. So Naomi gives Ruth some information that she doesn't know and really can't know unless Naomi tells her this and explains it to her. And same thing really goes for you and I and the work of the Holy Spirit in explaining the benefits in Jesus Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, here's a good little cross-reference to this. As Naomi explains the benefits in the kinsman and Boaz, so the Holy Spirit explains the benefits in Jesus Christ. And here's just a good cross-reference to that. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." So, you can't physically see, you hadn't physically seen these things. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." So, you and I, as we've said many times before, have no access to understanding the benefits of Jesus Christ, the blessings in Jesus Christ, what the future is like, any of those things outside of the revelation of the Spirit of God. Outside of what the Spirit of God shows. And you and I don't have any, as we've said before, any physical access to it. I couldn't show it to you. I couldn't take a picture of it and say, here's paradise. This is what it looks like. This is where you're going. You couldn't bring back any smells of it or any souvenirs of it. So the only access you and I have to understanding the future, heaven, hell, unfortunately, the blessings in Jesus Christ, what eternal life is like, what the future and under Jesus Christ and millennial reign, all those things, you and I don't have any access to them other than what the Spirit of God says about them. And that's why he always talks about faith, and faith, and faith is faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the words of God, and things like that. So the Spirit of God, one of his works is to manifest and to explain what rewards are in Jesus Christ, what the benefits are in Jesus Christ, what the future looks like in Jesus Christ. Just like Naomi, who tells Ruth, this man here, he can provide some things. Not only just the food, but there's going to be a future here. There's a possibility for their future here with Boaz. And so Naomi explains this to Ruth, and Ruth is just, she's just probably at the beginning just trying to gather food, and she doesn't know all that's going to be involved in all this. But as time goes on and Naomi understands the situation, understands who Ruth has now run into, she explains, now this man's a kinsman, and he can provide a future, and he can provide rest for you and I. There's so many things wrapped up in this man. And that's the same way the Holy Spirit does with Jesus Christ. He explains all of these blessings and benefits in Jesus Christ, and through the words of God that are authored by the Scripture, authored by the Holy Spirit of God, and that's the access point. That's where you and I have the information about the future. And now, what do you do with things like that? Well, you can either, if you're a believer, you believe them. You believe the future. You believe what the Holy Spirit's testimony is about Jesus Christ and about the future. But if you're not a believer, you listen to it and you say, hey, whatever your reason is or excuse for not believing, you just, you know, I don't believe that stuff. That's folklore. That's mythology. For whatever reason, but if you're not going to believe it, then you're not going to have access to it. But if you believe it, if you trust the words of God, and if you trust what the Holy Spirit says about Jesus Christ in the future, you have access to these things. So Naomi explains what the kinsman can do for Ruth, something Ruth didn't know, and now she's going to know. Now she's going to understand what all is entailed with this man. Same way with the way the Holy Spirit does it. Then, something I think we talked about last week, real quickly, so I won't go over it too much. Ruth chapter 3, back over in Ruth chapter 3. Naomi's going to instruct Ruth in how to approach the kinsman. And since we covered that last week, I won't belabor the point. But in Ruth chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, Naomi says, wash thyself, anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, get thee down to the floor, make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking, and so on and so forth. So Naomi instructs Ruth on how to approach the kinsman. What's your position and what's his position, and how do you instigate, or how do you start a conversation with him? Or how do you encourage him to have a conversation with you? And so Naomi, like the Holy Spirit of God, instructs a soul in how to approach the kinsman. I'll give you a cross-reference here. Look in John chapter 16. Now, this is with the world, the way the world should approach. John chapter 16. Naomi instructs Ruth on how to approach the kinsman. So here's a little cross-reference. The way the Holy Spirit ministers or speaks to the world, and then there's also an approach with a saved soul. All right, so John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus Christ is talking here. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the world. And he does this through people, but he brings out three things: sin, righteousness, judgment. And so this is the position of a sinner before he's ever, ever saved or ever has eternal life. And so this is how a sinner has to understand his state before receiving eternal life, before getting sins taken care of. Now, on the other hand, a saved soul, if you've got eternal life, you approach the throne of God in Jesus' name. You approach the throne of God on the basis of Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to take you to a bunch of verses or anything like that. You just understand that the Holy Spirit's ministry, one of the things he directs in is how do you approach the kinsman? How do you get close to him? How do you talk to him? Well, if you're lost, you have to understand you're a sinner. And understand judgment and understand that your state and your condition before him. And if you're saved, those things are also good to be understood, if I'm in Christ and things like that. But one of the instructions that the Holy Spirit makes is how do you approach the throne? How do you come near this kinsman? And so those are a couple of thoughts on that. Back over to Ruth, give you a couple more of these things real quick. Ruth chapter 3. And verse 18. The fourth or fifth thing here that Naomi provides, kind of like the Holy Spirit does, is she provides peace and sort of just the calmness of spirit that the kinsman is going to take care of redemption. Kinsman is going to take care of redemption. Look in Ruth 3 and verse 18. Here's what Naomi says to Ruth. Ruth chapter 3, verse 18. Then said she, this is Naomi talking, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." That is a comforting thought. That is really when Jesus Christ talks about sending the Holy Ghost, he talks about sending a comforter, and Naomi instructs Ruth, all right, you've done what you can do. This is your part is done. Now you just trust and put your hope and put your rest and your peace. Just let the kinsman now, let Boaz do what he's going to do. And he's going to do it. He's going to take care of this. He will take care of this matter. One cross-reference to this, the way the Holy Ghost directs this and offers peace. Look in John chapter 14. A lot of good stuff in John 14, 15, 16 that sort of relates to this. John chapter 14. Verse, let's see. Now, there's so many things here. Verse 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Those are the words of Naomi. That's exactly what Naomi tells Ruth. The kinsman, this man, Boaz, he will accomplish what he said he would accomplish. He will take care of this matter. And so your job is to not worry about it. Your job is to let him take care of it and control your own, control your thoughts. Let the peace of God, let the peace and knowing that he will take care of this matter, let that minister to you. Let that be your guide and your direction. So Naomi provides peace that the kinsman is going to take care of redemption. And just like the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, which is, I mean, that's also an interesting thought, that when Jesus Christ is about to go to the cross and says, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to leave you with a Comforter, and almost like he kind of knew what Christians need. You're going to need comfort. I'm not going to leave you with, I'm not going to leave you with a car salesman, because that's not what you need. I'm going to leave you with a Comforter, because that's what you're going to need in this life. You're going to need a Comforter. And so the Comforter provides assurance. It provides peace. One of the things, the ways that's done is letting you know and me know that Jesus Christ is going to take care of the matter that needs to be taken care of. And if you trust that, if you'll trust what he's saying about Jesus Christ and trust the work of Jesus Christ, that is the peace of God. That is the assurance and the rest that you're looking for. That's the calmness of the Spirit there. So Naomi provides peace. She instructs Ruth, okay, Boaz is going to take care of this. And so just let him take care of it. And your job is not to worry about it. Let him take care of it. Last but not least, interesting thing, the way this works out. But in Ruth chapter 4, go back to Ruth chapter 4. I know we haven't covered these things quite yet, but you probably know the story. So this is the spoiler alert that Ruth and Boaz do get married. They end up getting married. Oh man, I didn't know that was going to happen. So Ruth and Boaz, they're going to get married, and they're going to have children, have a child that's named in this chapter. But in Ruth chapter 4, this is the way it's worded is neat. Ruth chapter 4, verse 16. This child is nursed and taken care of, I should say taken care of, by Naomi. Says, verse 13, Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee as a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse to it. So the new life that is formed out of Ruth's faithfulness, Boaz's grace, Naomi's instruction, the new life that comes out of all of that, Naomi becomes an overseer of the new life. She becomes a caretaker of the new life. And I thought, that's a cool little way the Holy Spirit becomes sort of a steward of new life in Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple cross references real quick. Same way that Naomi becomes a steward of the new life that's formed out of Boaz's grace, Ruth's faithfulness, Naomi's instruction, all these things come together and produce a new life. And Naomi becomes a nurse to this new life. It's kind of neat how that works out. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The way the Holy Spirit becomes a caretaker of the new life that's formed. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Here's the Spirit of God's work in new life. The Bible says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." Some people stop there. That's not the end of the verse. He tells you how you're chosen to salvation, how a person is chosen. "Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth. The Holy Spirit is the speaker of truth, and Jesus Christ is the truth. And so, the Holy Spirit of God is sort of in this verse and in a couple others I'll show you, He is the caretaker of new life. He is the oversight. He is the director. He's the guide. He's the minister to new life. I guess you could say. Look in 1 Peter. I'll give you another cross reference here. The way Naomi becomes a nurse to the new life that's formed out of the union of Ruth and Boaz. Got all these. There's so many layers to the book of Ruth. It's pretty neat. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says in the introduction here, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." How? How are you elect? "Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience." Now here's some more. I'll wait. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit." So that's how it's done. "Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." So, sanctification of the Spirit. There's another description of it one more time in same chapter, verse 22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, and of unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Back there in verse 22, "You purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit." Through the Spirit of God. So the Spirit is sort of the oversight or the administrator of this new life. And you have the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, things like that. So, I don't know. I thought about the way Naomi is described in the book of Ruth, and the new life is really attributed to or put under her care in that verse in Ruth chapter 4. Kind of the way the Holy Spirit, the way Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit of God to administrate new life and to organize and to really handle the new life that's been created. So I don't know, just some several ways here in which Naomi is a good, she's a good guide to Ruth, and her guidance is very illustrative of the way the Holy Spirit guides people. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting correlation to those two things. She magnifies Boaz. She magnifies the kinsman. She encourages Ruth in well-doing. She explains what the kinsman can do for Ruth. She gives insight and understanding on what the kinsman can provide in the future he provides. Same way the Holy Ghost does in, about Jesus Christ. Naomi instructs Ruth in how to approach the kinsman. Naomi provides peace that the kinsman will take care of the matter of redemption, which is something the Holy Spirit does. And then Naomi becomes the steward of the new life that results out of Boaz and Ruth coming together. So it's just some thoughts there. That was kind of interesting. Another layer of understanding there. So I hope that's helpful. We'll wrap it up and we will head next door. Father, thank you for this time. I pray it's been helpful. This study of really some typology here, but ultimately showing the work of the Holy Spirit of God in the matter of believers and faith and just the ministry there. I thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. Do pray that we'd all get fed by you the way we need to get fed this morning and be helped the way we need to be helped. And that you'd give us safety as we travel tomorrow. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.